Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We are children of the world watching every day go by, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Big win for Liverpool in Lisbon and Man City edged Atletico. It's Wednesday, 6th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I am Luke Moore.
Ha.
What's this?
Bit of Bee Gees, eh? I know you're a fan, Andy.
Always, but you've slightly made up for it there with your excitement. But
slightly.
Normally, when the music goes in, just a little look behind the ramble curtain, ladies and gentlemen, Marcus like punches the air or clinches his fist like Tim Henman. You know, every day's Friday with you, isn't it?
We
didn't get that this morning. What's wrong? Oh, what have I done to offend you?
Well, I had to summon all my focus for that little Bee Gees ditty there. Mm.
With your offensively deep voice delivering it, I can understand that.
Do you know they sold more records than any other band called the Bee Gees in the entire world?
Makes sense. It does make sense.
It does indeed. Anyway, enough of that crap, ladies and gentlemen, which has got nothing to do with anything. It was the Champions League last night. We welcomed it back with open arms. Benfica welcomed Liverpool with open arms as well. They regret that, of course, this morning because they were done at 3-1. Luke Moore, two.
What do you want?
I want some praise and some waxing lyrical of Liverpool and then Manchester City, because we are really talking about the two best sides in the world. I know Chelsea are officially the best side in the world, but those two last night. We will start with Liverpool, of course. It is just phenomenal watching them play every time. And Liverpool, they go away and. Vish and I did a little ramble live stream last night, which you can find on Twitter, the little ramble roundup, if you will. And I said on there that these two are the best sides in the world at the moment. And arguably, you could suggest that the tie is all but over. Because really, can you see Benfica going to Anfield and winning by 2 goals to force it to penalties or winning by 3 to finish the game?
No. Can't see that happening.
No.
But I did think it was a more interesting game than the scoreline perhaps suggested. The atmosphere looked good. It was a nice affair, chiefly when Benfica had a load of joy when it was 2-1. And I thought they had chances to make it 2-2. Now, I'm not saying that would have changed the overall makeup of who goes through or not. But I think if they do get it to 2-2, it becomes a far more interesting thing. And they should have. Mm. It's simple as that. They basically just should have done that. And they didn't. And Liverpool being Liverpool, obviously the narrative was set with Diaz getting the cherry on top, given the club he used to play for.
I mean, they will bait him endlessly, knowing what's going
to
happen.
Fans always seem to do that. I don't really understand
but
why they
can't. They can't help themselves, can they? Nah. The guy who used to play for FC Porto, of course, there he is in the stadium. Can you imagine it on the loudspeaker system? Right, everybody, don't say anything to him, otherwise he will mug us off. You know,
what always tends to happen is a player like him, I think he did miss a couple of chances, and all the fans would be like, hey, wanker, like, why are you doing that? At some point, he's going to score.
I mean, I suppose you could say that has worked with some players in the past. You know, they get a bit down and so on. But Diaz doesn't look like one of those players, hence Klopp signed him and was so confident that he's there to carry on when Salah or Mane or whoever leave the club or get a bit too old or whatever. He is very much the present and future of Liverpool at the moment.
Yes.
What about Kanyate though at the back, Andy? Talking of recently signed players for Liverpool, I mean, he scored his first goal for the club, which was a lovely header, and then had an absolute disaster for the Benfica goal.
Can it be an assist if you don't touch it? I mean, you wonder. I think the interesting thing about Kanyate is he's a player of great pedigree.
Hmm.
There was a lot of discussion at Leipzig whether he was the best of that young defence, whether he was better even than Upamecano. But they've had to be careful with him, not just because defenders adapting to the Premier League, the discussion that we have again and again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you look back over the last couple of seasons, he's not actually played that much football as well.
No.
I mean, that...
Because he was signed in the summer, of course.
Yeah. I mean that sort of mistake, I mean, it could happen to anyone. I thought Darwin took that really, really well, though. I mean, you're never expecting him to miss that, surely.
Mm.
And the fact that he took a touch, got it in the right spot, and put it in the exact place where Alisson couldn't get it. I thought he was very, very good, particularly in the second half, Darwin. I mean, he's got Premier League written all over him in neon letters. And of course, West Ham tried to buy him last winter.
Mm.
I feel pretty sure he will end up in the Premier League, whether it is at West Ham or whether they miss their shot. I guess we'll wait and see. But what Luke was saying about Benfica being on the up in the second half, basically it was exactly like the game they played against Ajax, the home leg they played against Ajax in the last round, in that Ajax absolutely battered them in the first half, and they managed to go in only 2-1 down, and then came out second half, different team, Benfica really at it, got an equaliser, and that provided the draw, provided the platform for them to go and get a surprise result in Amsterdam. So they weren't a million miles away from that. And given that this is kind of, it probably sounds a bit patronising, especially to a club of that size, but it is their cup final because they know they're going to finish third in the league. Mm. They're not in any domestic cups. Mm. So they had to really, like, not go for it in a reckless sort of way, but commit everything in a sense that, you know, it's their big one for the rest of the season, I suppose you can say. But, you know, just the gap with Liverpool is very, very hard to breach.
Yeah, it's mad to see and to witness a 32-year-old Adel Tarat playing in central midfield against Liverpool in the latter stage of the Champions League.
Yeah.
It's kind of quite weird to process.
Well, we said this in the previous round against Ajax, but you're absolutely right. It only gets weirder as he stays in the tournament that a bit longer.
If you weren't someone who followed football that closely, but you were enthusiast of it or whatever, and you supported a team, say, for like QPR or whatever, you would be forgiven for thinking, oh, I wonder what Tarat's doing now.
Is he retired?
He's actually playing in the Champions League. A quarter final of the Champions League.
But that's
starting
the
game.
But if you said to someone, as you say, someone who maybe hasn't, as you just described, you could say, right, here's your options. Okay, what do you think? Has he A, retired? Is he B, playing in Turkey? Is he C, playing in second tier
prison?
Or is he currently on a beach somewhere in the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Or is he playing against Liverpool in the Champions League?
Yeah.
Right? You probably wouldn't go for the latter.
Everyone's going for B.
Yeah.
Everyone is going
for B. You also think, I mean, I don't want this, and Andy's right to say that Benfica are obviously a proud, illustrious, historic club, you know, part of the furniture in the elite level of football, of course. But when you look at the lineup of players they have, look at that midfield. Keita, Fabinho, Thiago at Liverpool got this great midfield that's really nicely balanced. They've got such quality throughout and players to come in that improve them even more. The players they bring off the bench, et cetera, et cetera. And you look at that Benfica team, and I don't want to kind of judge a player on their reputation or their name, but actually, you know, Otamendi, Vertonghen, Tarat, these are players who people who watch English football will recognise and will have an opinion that actually, well, they've moved on from the top level of the Premier League now because they're not quite good enough anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're turning up at Benfica, and Benfica are still competing in the last eight of the Champions League. I just think it's quite an interesting story. It's almost as interesting a story as the name of their goalkeeper, Odysseus
Vlachodimos.
Vlachodimos. A brilliant name. I couldn't get enough of the commentator.
The thing is, when it said Vlachodimos, I admittedly think, tease me, tease me.
Yeah, Chuck Demos.
Tease me, tease me.
Vlachodimos and Pliers. Zeki Fryers.
It's the only player I can think of.
Right. That's very good on short notice. Yeah. I have to respect that.
Like it. It was no surprise, though, that Benfica didn't score in the first half, because it's been 19 games since Liverpool last conceded a goal in the first
half. That's a mad thing.
For the sexy team, Liverpool do miserly surprisingly well,
yeah,
don't they? I mean, when me and Jim did at the match at Arsenal a couple of weeks ago, Liverpool played within themselves. Mm. And, you know, they did that at Inter at the last round as well. I mean, this was a different kind of performance from Liverpool. But knowing that they have these, you know, their ever-changing moods, as Paul Weller might say, it's amazing that they can do that with the same set of players.
Well, I think people often think about Manchester City, the ones who keep the ball, they keep clean sheets. It's very hard to score against them. That's all true, of course. But the same is said, well, different style, but you can say the same about Liverpool in terms of the defence. We should point out that it was Shrewsbury who were the last team to score in the first half. Give them a bit of
amazing.
Give the Shrews a little mention. Yeah. I think they deserve that, definitely. It's depressing scenes when certain Benfica fans were chucking stuff at Luis Diaz when he scored.
Happens over and again these days.
It really does. You were talking about that at, in the Old Firm derby, of course.
Yeah.
I did quite like Andy Robertson's response, because he had stuff thrown at him and he said, I had quite a few lighters thrown at me, so maybe it'll help them stop smoking.
Yeah.
Which he's good at the old post-match. I do enjoy him. A bit more Andy Robertson, please.
Yeah, he is good. Yeah. He's got a lot of personality.
Apparently, Wolverhampton Wanderers shared all their data on Liverpool with Bruno Lage being
the
at the forefront
snakes.
Of that.
Snakes!
Yeah.
Snitch! That's a snitch!
Lage trying to help out.
Wait, when you say Wolves, you mean Bruno Lage, basically. Yeah.
Well, the on
blame all of them.
He had a club blazer on Andy at the time. that is quite amusing.
But that stuff from the pitch.
Connor Cody couldn't be happy with that.
No, I love Connor Cody on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone loves him.
Yeah, just love him.
Every time he posts something on Instagram, all the other Wolves players are like, sharing it, going, my captain with a crown. Like, they love him. He's so popular.
Cool,
But Simeone had that stuff. He had loads of, was it, I think it was the game at Old Trafford, was it, in the recent round?
Yeah.
As he walked off down the tunnel, because, you know, United, they've got that tunnel in the corner, they'd bring the cover over.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I don't want to just point out and say that it's just Old Firm, because we talked about it quite a lot on Monday, and that's the old kind of cliche.
That was a particularly egregious one.
It was
the broken glass.
It was, but it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's people will say, "Well, this has always happened." Yeah, but it does. I don't know. It would sound naive, but it does seem it happens in spells. If you see what I mean, it kind of. I don't know. We obviously want to see it stop. Before we move on from Liverpool, mention for Trent Alexander-Arnold back from injury, and just that raking ball that Diaz knocked down for Mane. I mean, it just, he's such a glorious player, Alexander-Arnold, that when you have, you know, you can mark the front three, you can try and marshal Liverpool's midfield and so on. But if there's the out ball often for Liverpool is to the right back. I know we've known this for a while, but it's such a glorious thing when Trent gets hold of the ball.
Yeah, it felt as if he had to do something extra spectacular after that Joe Gomez impression of him for Diogo Jota's goal.
Very good impression.
It's a very good impression.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's not how it's done. This is how it's done.
Yeah, that's not an assist.
his technique is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he spends more time in the opposition half than he does in his own half. Mm-hmm. And I know Benfica aren't as good as Liverpool, but last night he certainly did that away from home in the latter stages of the Champions League. He's incredible to watch.
But it's such a conundrum for the opposition to try and solve against Liverpool, because you think, right, okay, do we try and play a high line and squeeze them? You know, because you don't want to give them space. Obviously, spacing behind could be a bit tricky as well. With Alexander-Arnold, when he gets the ball, the defence have also got to think, what is about to happen here?
Well, formations seem to be coming. Look, this is a layman's opinion, because I'm not a tactical expert at all, but formations appear to be becoming less and less important. Like, players, I mean, look what happened with Harry Kane at the weekend. Mm. Like, it's very difficult if you're a team intent on not only containing the opposition but also trying to win the game. And yeah, we'll come on to Atletico in a minute.
I was going to say, formations are important,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not easy to defend coherently against what Harry Kane was doing at the weekend or against what Alexander-Arnold does, like, all the time.
Mm. You know, what gets me the most about that, though, is how specific Antonio Conte is. I wonder how he's coping with that.
He must have processed it in his own mind with Kane, said, look, I've decided you can do this.
Yeah.
X amount of times per half or something.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm going to fine you if you go anymore.
It has to be. It has to be.
No, but he doesn't really give a shit if they win 5-1 and the Kane plays like that. You can't really complain, can you?
Yeah, because he loves celebrating goals.
I don't think you know about Antonio Conte's little inventors.
Yeah, but Andy, vendettas. When he celebrates a goal, when he turns around and he belts towards one of his assistants and jumps into his arms, that's ultimately what he's there for.
Yeah.
But and if that means Kane playing a little bit out of position.
No, I think if Kane drops into his own half a few too many times, I think that's a resigning issue for Conte.
Could be. Could well be. Could well be. Gentlemen, Manchester City beat Atletico Madrid 1-0. Of course, Kevin De Bruyne with a lovely little finish. Manchester City, I suppose it was classic stuff or what we've come to expect from both sides. Now, I know Atletico are not the side they were a few years ago in terms of their quality, but Andy Brassel, the game plan is not too dissimilar, shall we say. And they didn't have a single shot on target, or I don't think they had
a single shot. Yeah, exactly. A single shot in total.
Nothing.
Which is absolutely remarkable when you have Joao Felix and Antoine Griezmann in your team.
They're playing fullback, it isn't.
Not once did they shoot between the corner flags for the whole game.
I like that Joao Felix is somehow been turned by Diego Simeone into a less attacking fullback than Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Alexander-Arnold,
he is sickened. Yes. Absolutely sickened.
We're familiar with two banks of four in England, but last night it was two banks of five, Andy Brassel.
It was. And you know what? If Atletico are going to defend properly against a team of Manchester City's quality, that is the way it's got to be.
Well, it is, Andy, because they're going to arguably one of the best team, you could say, in the world.
They don't have a back four at all for the last season, but they don't have a back four of the required quality to defend their own penalty box like they used to. Now, Ronaldo's come in and has made a massive difference as a kind of reverse modern fullback, really. You know, such a defensive fullback that it's like, oh yeah, okay. Well, maybe you are our third centre-back kind of by default. Mm. But I think given that is not particularly what they're good at anymore, that they shielded Jan Oblak pretty well.
I think so.
Arguably the best team in the world or very close between them and Liverpool, as you say. And Oblak only really made a couple of saves, didn't he?
Yeah, no, I thought it was a good performance from Atletico. And I think Simeone thought to himself, we have to stay in the tie.
Yeah.
You've got to stay in the tie because after Man City scored, there was one, I think, was it Foden? There was a bit of a... Oh, it was Kevin De Bruyne had that chance. It was blocked. And then,
just after, wasn't it?
And then was it Foden or whoever floated the ball and it went wide? And you saw Guardiola grab his head in his hands, and he was absolutely gutted that they missed that because he knows how important that second goal is. Now, I still think Man City will go through. Don't get me wrong. But for Simeone, look, it was a case of, if you're still in the tie after this one, then it's all to play for.
I just love that he's got absolutely no respect for the competition.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's got no respect for the Champions League.
Simeone?
Nah, the way they set up is...
for the spectacle.
Yeah, well, no, I know that, I mean, Andy knows more about this than me, but...
Away goals don't count, lads. Yeah, we can dig in.
They've come close.
That is it, though, isn't it? That's exactly
right.
But
they've come close to win the Champions League a couple of times, right?
Yeah,
and he's delivered Atletico Madrid a success that I don't think they would have seen before.
Probably the best period of their history, you could argue.
So, undoubtedly. So I get all that. But he obviously wants to win that Champions League.
Of course.
And he's been given a huge salary to do so, right? Mm. He's one of the highest paid managers in the world.
They've paid
big money for players. I know you're talking about their quality and we can debate about that. But they've paid big money for players. They've paid also big money to bring players back, etc., etc. You both talk about them still being in the tie. You look at that and you go, okay, they've only lost 1-0 away, so they're still in the tie. It's very difficult to see how they are able to... Because the way I see it is they played with those two banks of five and kept it so solid because I think that they felt like if they tried to make any motion towards attacking, they were going to leave spaces and City were going to kill them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's still going to be the case. The second leg, that's still going to be the case.
But it's going to be the case at their place.
But I don't think that makes that much difference.
Well, I think it does.
I think it does a little bit. But also, I don't think home advantage is what it was 20, 30 years ago, obviously. And that is one of the reasons why they scrapped the away goals, of course. But I think, I know what you mean, look, on paper it doesn't make a difference. But when you're in Man City away from home, suddenly the pressure's a bit more. Because at home in the first leg, Man City weren't tested at all. Edison, for all I know, was just sitting down and counting the blades of grass.
Somehow managed to get himself booked.
He just wanted to come out for a chat.
He just wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
But I think you are right, as I say, on paper. But of course, when you get down to it, when you're there, the atmosphere, the pressure, and all the rest of it, it just takes a mistake.
The best chance.
It takes, and they have quality. It takes a moment of quality.
The best chance they've got, as you said, is a Man City making a mistake, and Guardiola say Atletico score early in the second leg because there's a mistake, and Guardiola losing his mind. That's basically the best chance they've got.
That's always been their best chance, though.
Their wind-up mergers. We see they were very ready for Jack Grealish when he came on.
Oh, for Southgate, a good old go at
Grealish. He did, yeah. I mean, Guardiola said that his team need to keep their emotions in check and keep focused. I mean, he did run on the pitch and reportedly shout, "You're mad at Angel Correa at one point." So, yes, Pep, a little spoonful of your own medicine.
The interesting part of that is the detail on that. The Vasalco-Grealish referee thing, which happened, I think, after the final whistle, that was basically, it looked to me like that was all based around the wrongful awarding of a throw-in. And you think to yourself, well, Man City, you're winning this game. Like, this is probably, if you'd given them a 1-0 win at the start, they probably would have taken it. And their Grealish was so wound up about the thing. Vasalco was doing it on purpose. You could see it coming, and that's what they're all about. You know, had they got, I mean, it wouldn't even make much difference because City have got so many good players, but had they really got City to boil over, and they got sending off and a player was suspended or whatever, that would that maybe would have changed it. It is unlikely. I respect what Simeone does. I respect this whole soak and strike thing that he does in these kind of games, but there was just no strike.
Yeah, no,
it was kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I do agree, but I think it was just a case of, you know, let's keep the score down.
And it was old school European Cup.
It was, and I think if away goals hadn't been scrapped, you may have seen a 5-4-1 rather than a 5-5-0. But I take your point, but we should mention Phil Foden, of course, who changed the game with a lovely assist.
It's an elite level goal, that.
It is, just over a minute when he came on. And you're right, because the chances were few and far between. And Foden's footwork when he sets up that goal was absolutely beautiful. Every pundit in England was praising his substitute performance, of course. Jonny Lescar went a bit too far, saying Foden could become the best English player of all time.
You
always get one, don't you, who just gets a little bit too...
Alex Ferguson said that. No, Bobby Charlton said that Phil Jones could be the new Duncan Edwards.
Yes, that was again a bit over the top.
Alex Ferguson said he could be the best player in United's history.
Lescott's a Man City man. He's enjoying their time at the
nice
top of the moment,
as well.
and he was sat opposite Rio Ferdinand, of course. So you got to get the digs in while you can.
Yeah.
But it was glorious when Foden came on. The question is, will he start in the second leg? Who knows? But it was absolutely beautiful. And it was just that moment, and De Bruyne took that chance. Because you're right, Andy. There was very few and far between in terms of chance. I mean, Simeone was meticulous in his preparations, of course, on the pitch. He was also meticulous with the preparations off the pitch, because apparently he copied everything he did for the trip to Manchester United out of superstition. Both flights left Madrid at 11:30. They used the same bus, the same hotel, the same hour for the press conference, with Marcos Llorente doing the presser again and training at the same hour.
It's magnificent, isn't it? And
that is a man who's slowly unravelling.
It is very slowly, if that's the case, because remember, he's been wearing the same get-up to games for years.
Do you know, Guardiola wasn't too absolutely dissimilar. Years. Similar jackets. Black trousers, black shoes.
I think that behaviour from Simeone is demented. I think that's possibly signs of an issue.
Yeah.
Doing that. Don't you?
But you could say that about a lot of managers, couldn't you, really?
Don't worry, guys. If we do exactly the same thing again, I promise you we won't have a single shot.
Yeah, but I think
no, but a lot of footballers are superstitious. It's about responding to their needs as well.
Barry Fry pissed in all the corner flat in the corners of the ground. He thought he would give them good luck.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. You What's know? Your point?
Just nice to mention Barry Fry.
What's he doing?
I know what you mean, Luke. On the outside looking in, well, even in the inside looking out, that is very like unnecessary behaviour. But if he is saying to his players, "I have planned everything, we're going to do the same thing," he's trying to get it in their heads. That's what
coaches say to their players all the time. It's in the script. Yeah. Follow the script. It's in the script.
Exactly.
He is a Marvel Cinematic Universe villain. In football,
I think he's more of one of those grey characters who don't know whose side he's on.
I think if you don't know whose side he's on after watching what you watched last night, I can't help you.
Point taken.
He ain't on your side, mate. That's all I'll say.
Point taken, sir.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink wine and relax!
You're a left-handed guitar player.
He does air guitar left-handed, Marcus.
Yeah. Wow.
But he plays the real guitar right-handed.
That's true.
You live and learn.
If that's not evidence for we're living in a simulation, I don't know what is.
Well, you see, I'd never know that because he's never come round to my house, played a plethora of Nelly songs and refused to leave.
There you go.
Anyway, this is...
Was that right-handed or left-handed? Generally sounds the same.
Yeah.
This is from Matt. Last week, I took my four-year-old to his first after-school football class. Oh, as expected, lots of kids in full kits of various teams. Yes, that is allowed, by the way, everyone, because they're children.
Yeah.
And then I saw it. A child in Manchester United shirt, United shorts, and Liverpool socks. I'm not sure what to do. Can I take my son back to somewhere that allows such behaviour? Do I report the kid's parents to social services? Am I allowed to encourage my son to go full keen on Orland as punishment for the crime?
Not the last one. Don't do
no,
the last
no.
one.
Don't do that,
man. I think you've got to have a word. I think you've got to have a quick word with the parents. You know, I think you've got to say, look, this...
Depends where in the country it is.
Does it?
If it's in Surrey, fine.
Yeah, it doesn't say where it is, to be fair.
Yeah.
I don't think it is fine, though. I think
no, but as in the child needs to learn.
What do you think is the cut-off for people, the age cut-off, for it to be acceptable to have names and numbers printed on the back of your shirt?
Yeah, that's a different issue, which we're not tackling today.
It's all part of the same universe, I think.
You tell me, I can take it.
So, yeah, if you got it right, you probably has got it.
Yeah.
Absolute football perv.
How dare you? You know what? I think this is a simple issue, Matt, of hand-me-downs. You know, you just get what you're given off various members of the family. Now, presumably, I'm just guessing, if that child was handed down a Manchester United shirt and United shorts, socks are the most likely to wear through. So I think the socks have gone, and the socks have been made up through a different family member.
Just wear a normal pair of socks.
Hey, I think that's what's happened. I mean, my younger son inherited a Newcastle United away strip, which surprisingly had a sponsor on it, which was not the greatest sponsor. I'm not going to glorify them by saying who they are, but not the most glorious sponsor in Newcastle United's history.
Mm.
And
we know.
On the occasions that he's
Wonga.
The very few occasions that he's worn this top, he has walked around, and when he's walked into a room,
he's like pointed at his chest and gone, "This is the worst company in the world." Oh, hello, how are you?
Really?
Yeah. He really is your son, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. But Andy, these two teams are rival teams.
Yeah.
The parent needs to take a bit of responsibility and say, look, you're going to wear a pair of normal socks here. I've got no problem with either club. Mm. I'm not having a dig at either of them. I'm just saying you've got to wear...
You're saying the parents don't like football, basically.
They probably just don't know.
I don't
which
mind.
Which is why I said you want parental intervention to help.
I don't
out.
Mind if there's a mix and a blend going on. But you're right. I think that it needs to be pointed out. By the way, these two are not. We took to the stage in Glasgow. We need
Donaldson here.
Half and half Rangers.
Donaldson preached the divide.
I think it's all right. Let him.
What did Whitney Houston say? I believe that children are our future.
Yeah, exactly.
Let them unite people.
Yeah.
Well, and what did the Bee Gees say, Andy? To just recount that, we're children of the world.
Yeah.
Every man's a boy deep down.
And what did Cannibal Corpse say?
Oh, you're going to have to tell me.
Hammer smashed face. to Dame just won.
Okay, so Luke, why don't you have you've got the casting vote.
Right. Fold the entire club.
Yep.
Don't let anyone play football ever again.
No, we're not talking about Portsmouth. I'm talking about the issue.
I think. Listen, Matt, you've got to go up to the parents of the kid in question and say, look, the kid's going to have a bit of trouble from his friends as he gets older if he carries on doing this.
And do this with a raised voice.
Yeah, and say, it's not good enough.
What would you do if it was Pompey?
And then just basically stand in front of him, in front of all the people, look at him really intensely, the other dad, and wet yourself.
With an angry face.
Yeah, and take your own socks off and forcibly put them on the other dad, and say, your sock discipline needs to improve.
Righty-ho.
Does that clear it up?
Yeah.
I've got another email here.
Please.
It's kind of related to Pep Talks.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows how Pep Talks is really having an effect on the football community at large, I think it's fair to say. This is from T.O. He's not confident enough to put his full name. Mm. Understandable, fair enough. He says, first-time emailer, and for that I sincerely apologise. Mm. I have freeloaded the pod every morning since I can remember listening to podcasts, usually at max volume while showering, much to my wife's annoyance.
I mean, the pod is free. It's not like some illegal stream for the Ramble. So you're okay.
No, but we do prefer the ones who give money.
True, yeah. Lots of it as well.
And don't skip the adverts, which apparently is none of you, according to our surveys,
ooh,
which is what we tell all our sponsors. I'd like to share one anecdote of how I realised I'd fully immersed Pep Talks into our daily lives. We have two small dogs and both carry levels of unbridled energy and lack of focus equal only to Matteo Guendouzi's stint at Arsenal. I forgot about Matteo Guendouzi.
Yeah.
To pry their attention away from a treat and onto a command, we use a certain familiar tone and phrase, the source of which I wasn't able to diagnose until this morning when my wife finished my sentence. This is how it went. Me, sit, sit down, sit down. My wife, nobody talk, drink water and relax. I really appreciate the entertainment, but also the unintended dog training tips you've brought to our home.
Yeah.
You're very welcome, T.O. You're welcome anytime. It's a broad church, very inclusive parish, and you're very welcome here.
I
mean, as are your dogs.
That's a bit of a humble brag, isn't it? Sort of, my wife is the Pep Guardiola of dog trainers.
Yeah. If she gets results, mate.
Yeah, for fine. Sure, for sure. Yeah,
but she's also called a fraud by others here, I'm sure.
Simeone training your dogs, I don't get to leave the fucking house.
Very much in a cage, yeah. Oh, dearie me. Yeah, so if you've got any questions for us, however ridiculous, send them in and we'll get to them every Wednesday. Shoutfootball.ramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Gentlemen, to the Championship, a huge win for Paul Ince last night as Reading went 8 points clear of the relegation zone with a 2-1 win over Stoke City. Luke Moore, Paul Ince is taking care of business, yeah. And Reading, they are on for Championship survival.
Who else can resist the romance of a 2-1 midweek Reading win managed by Paul Ince at the Select Car Leasing Stadium? You know, it is a story for the ages.
Come on, you're having a pop at Simeone in the Champions League. You're having to have a pop at Paul Ince and Stoke and Reading, yeah. And everybody.
I'm having a pop at Simeone in the Champions League because realistically he's never going to find out about it.
Yep.
I'm having a pop at Reading because their fans are very benign.
Right.
I've never had any contact from a Reading fan apart from my mate Harrison. Who
That's why you're having a pop, because you're fine. You know they're not going to do anything.
It'd be absolutely fine, mate.
Yeah.
What I would say is
on,
that,
say something outrageous.
What I would say is, for those who genuinely didn't see what happened, Danny Drinkwater in the midfield. Talking about midfielders who are 32 that are possibly forgotten about.
That's right.
Danny Drinkwater was in the midfield for them.
Drinky.
Paul Ince has presided over some reasonable results. I don't think they've lost in their last four. They've won two and drawn two.
Yeah.
Let's be totally honest. I've met Paul Ince. He was a nice man. I've got no problem with him personally.
Right.
No one saw this coming.
No.
No.
Absolutely no one saw him presiding over a four-game unbeaten streak, no. which has moved Reading away from the relegation zone, the Championship, by like 8 points or something now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, it's had the desired effect because they needed something, and who better to turn to than Paul Lintz-Andy seems to be doing...
Well, there's low. How about, Andy, who better to turn to? Just keep it brief. Five or six names minimum. Because, I mean, you'd be here all day.
Who better to turn to that was willing and that was available?
I guess the question is now.
Who better to turn to to run your Alcoholic Anonymous service than Keith Richards? Yeah. Everyone better.
Hey, he's doing it, isn't he?
Yeah.
And I guess,
better to turn to give you your news than GB News? All of them. Every single anyone.
Who better to tell you the truth than Matt Letizia? All right. Yeah.
Yes. Get it in there. The man has gone. The man has gone.
He has.
I did promise in the production meeting I wouldn't take the piss out of him.
And you haven't.
I've gone back on that.
You haven't.
Because I'm about to say this is a man who now clearly thinks that his shoelaces are trying to strangle his own fingers. He has totally gone. And it's not funny because it's really bad misinformation he's sharing. I mean, he's essentially really irresponsible what he's doing.
It's gone over the line.
It is. But to drag it back...
But allow me to have that gag.
Well, no. Sadly, it's not a gag. You just...
Yeah.
Ironically, you're telling the truth.
Yeah. You can imagine Matt Tissier in the morning and his wife comes down and his fingers are being strangled by his own shoelace and he's like, what's going on? This is the government. And he's got a tinfoil hat on. And he's in the cupboard under the stairs.
I love it. Wasn't going to have a dig. You just said the truth and then you had to end with that. But Stoke didn't allow Paul Ince to play against his parent club, which Tom Ince. They'd have allowed that. They didn't allow Tom Ince to play.
I saw Paul Ince play at Wolves. That was a while ago.
Well, Paul Ince, the father of Tom, was fuming, but did say after the game, karma's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But what were they meant to do?
Well, I mean, it's a standard...
Clause
that clubs do.
I guess
Ever since Loire against Newcastle United.
I mean, the interesting question really is, after he's done them a solid in the short term, do they stick with him next season? Because
I mean, the answer is no. Andy,
well, it shouldn't be, I don't think. I mean,
to be fair, joking aside, he's got a reasonable record in at that level of football, right?
Yeah, but you know, the firefighter who gets you away from the bottom in extremis should not necessarily be the person to take you forward next season. You have to consider that, and that's often not considered in the football league, which is very short term.
And it's a weird paradox, though, isn't it? Because I understand what you're saying, and Paul Ince, you know, joking aside, he's had success at management in different places, and you know, he won League Two at MK Dons and all the rest of it. But you talk about that sentiment, which I think I broadly agree with, but actually it is paradoxical, and the reason for that is you're right, but they feel that they've earned the right to continue. Because they've said, well, what else could I have done? What more? It's unfair, intrinsically unfair, to not give me the job after the job I've done.
Yeah, but you're Paolo Di Canio.
Yeah.
But that's when you're starting again and doing a different job.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the club's truly progressed, you will be doing a different job, won't you?
Yeah, it's very true, Andy. It's very true. Well, with that win, they go 9 points above Derby County.
They've got a game in hand, haven't they?
Barnsley have a game in hand.
But
Derby don't. And, of course, for a while this season, we thought, my goodness, what a story this would be if Derby can survive. They're still... games to play, but it's looking unlikely now as they're 9 points from safety. Slightly better news that is coming out of Derby County Football Club is that there is apparently an agreement that was concluded on Monday night for Chris Kirchner to be the preferred bidder and take over the club. A little bit of controversy around him and some historical tweets, of course, that seems to be the case for a lot of people these days. But
they're pretty abhorrent, yeah.
Yes, indeed. But I suppose from Derby's financial point of view, I know one could argue that you can't separate the two. But from that, it's they seem to have found a preferred. But we'll see what happens in the coming days, of course, whether the takeover is complete. But any immediate thoughts on this, Andy?
Well, obviously that Derby County survive is the main thing, and hopefully under equitable ownership going forward. I always think at a time like this, really, rather than just being saved, in inverted commas, by someone who's got the readies, it always needs to come back. And maybe I'm speaking about this from too much of a personal perspective. The fans need to be implicated. They need to be involved. And we've heard a lot about this with the Chelsea takeover, really. You know, whoever the bidder is needs to get some sort of fan influence on the board. And you know, it seems to be something that's just regarded as, you know, something you say rather than something you actually do, rather than something you meaningfully enact. But I think we've seen in many cases that, you know, fans are the constant, you know, that you have like the people who have the genuine best interest of their club as a community asset at heart. I think if you look across a fan base, it's not just, there's this image that it's just, you know, blokes in the pub shouting for what they want. It's not. It's, you know, people who are from a wide range of different professions, who've got different skill sets and ideas to offer. And, you know, I think that involvement is really important to stop this happening again and to make sure that the club really is in the right hands while whoever the custodian is going forward. I think the other interesting thing is if you look at the top of League One, and I guess it's something supporting a League One club, at least for the moment.
We don't ever look at the top of it.
No bloody way. I think the difference, League One is two leagues in one, really. The difference between the clubs at the bottom, so like your Morecambes and your Wimbledons and your Fleetwoods, etc., and the clubs at the top, in fact, the clubs that aren't quite at the top, like Ipswich and Portsmouth, you've got Sheffield Wednesday in there this season, Sunderland, Wigan, since they've been taken over. There are clubs with so much money.
Well, maybe not Bolton then.
In there.
I was just naming teams.
The inequality between the clubs at the top and the clubs at the bottom is arguably more pronounced than it is, say, in the Premier League.
It's very, very big.
Well, and that's a huge statement.
And they will add to that. So what I'm saying is you look at Sunderland, there's no guarantee that Derby are coming back up immediately.
Well, the problem with this is that also the reason for that is because it's all very well, because I mean it was reported this morning the administrators I think have named Chris Kirchner
as the preferred bidder
to purchase the club, right? So that's been what's being reported at the time of recording, right? So that's all well and good. That's fine. I know there's a bit of controversy around the outstanding point deduction they need to suffer, whether they're going to suffer it this season if they get relegated anywhere, whether they're going to start next season with it, whatever. The problem isn't actually now, the problem isn't finding a bidder for Derby and someone to take over. The problem is what happens beyond that, making it sustainable. Because we've seen it time and time again. I agree with Andy's points about fan presence. That's really important. But what's also really important is that these clubs are run in a sustainable way so that if Chris Kirchner does get bored or some misfortune befalls him, self-inflicted or otherwise, the club can still continue. Because you can't get into a situation where clubs, as soon as the backer pulls out or gets bored or loses interest, the club can seriously face absolute financial ruin. Mm. But the problem is there's no real viable way for a lot of clubs, possibly even the majority of clubs in England, to sustain that. And it's and it speaks to the very heart of what football's all about, I think, because if you take something like ECPP, like that is a really obvious way, before that came in, for clubs to maintain sustainability, because they can do a lot of really good work in the community, they can really concentrate on their own catchment area, and they can develop players through, bring them through, and sell them off big profit. Clubs have done that loads in the past. Yeah. Alexandra, Southampton have done that. There's loads of clubs that have done it. It's harder to do it now because of the stranglehold the Premier League's got.
Oh, so, a lot of clubs look at it and think, is it worth having an academy? And that's what's happened. Genuinely bad for the game.
Exactly. So it's these things are going to happen time and time again. It happens to the wheel of fortune happens to have fallen on Derby County at the moment. So we're talking about them a lot. It's fallen on so many more clubs than you care to name, because the system, the model is completely fucked. If you support Man City or you support Liverpool, Man City's probably a weirder example. If you're Liverpool, you're fine because the clubs run brilliantly and they've got great financial backing and they've got a huge presence worldwide, et cetera, et cetera. It's not, you haven't got to worry about a team like Liverpool or a team at the very top of the Premier League. But you have got to worry about just about every other club because it could happen to them at any point. So it's kind of worrying. This ain't the fact that Derby have found a bidder and they may get out of this and may survive isn't the point. Mm. It's the point for Derby fans, but it's not the point for football.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And of course, Derby, I mean, they still face a 15-point deduction for not paying outstanding non-football creditors what they're owed. This should be applied next season, but the EFL apparently open to taking the points off this season,
which is a massive difference.
Well, that's what I say. I mean, I think that's what they want.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're going to get relegated anyway, that's what you want.
Yeah. So for now, it's obviously for them, it's important that the purchase goes through quickly. Andy, you were talking about League One. You saw some League One action last night. You were at your beloved AFC Wimbledon.
I did.
They got a point against 10-man Charlton.
Yes.
It was a late point. I mean, they're down there. They're, what are they, 4 points off
safety.
Have they really not won since the 7th of December?
Yeah. 22 games.
How
it's
on
like
earth
half
are they,
a season.
How on earth are they only 4 points from safety?
Well, you might ask, Marcus. Well, you might ask.
It's not
ask.
Just a league. Oh, chucking a defeat to Boreham Wood and the cup in among all that.
Why not, eh?
Yeah.
They're not even a professional club. Are they Boreham Wood?
They are.
I'm joking. Club, yeah. I've got no beef with Boreham Wood.
Yeah.
Apart from the Tim Sherwood thing.
They lost to FC Wimbledon B the other week as well. Wimbledon. I want to talk about the sending off.
Oh, it's amazing. Amazing.
The thing is, if you look on
Share it on our socials. We've got to share it on our socials.
If you look on my Instagram, where I took a few arty shots because, well, I've given up all hope of winning ever again. So that is.
I've muted you.
If other people look on my Instagram, which is Andy Brassel 11, they will see.
Get it in.
Come on.
Yeah. That they will see that one of the pictures, in amongst the lovely picture of the full stands and all the rest of it under the floodlights, there's a sort of arty-ish one of one of the subs warming up. That sub, I remember at the time thinking, he's a big lad.
Mm.
Ryan Innes.
Ryan Innes.
Centre-back of Charlton.
Well, from Andy Brassel 11 to Charlton Athletics 10.
It turns out he likes a cameo more than Pete Donaldson.
I tell you what, right, if you watch that sending off, because... It's absolute classic stuff.
It's Sunday League. It's massive Sunday
takes
one, League.
He takes a touch, that's fine.
He takes a touch, capital A, capital T. Yeah. It's a big touch.
No. I think that's his second touch, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he takes the first touch.
He thinks, I've got the ball, I'm going to step out.
Oh, it's the modern era. I'll have another touch, okay? I'm not just going to boot it. I'm going to have another touch. Now, that touch was so bad... What he should have done was let the ball go and then get back into position.
Wait for the ball to stop bleeding.
Yeah.
And get back in position.
But that's how bad it was. It wasn't a case of, oh, that's a bad touch. All right, I'm going to have to go and close down whoever's going to get the ball. It was, that touch is so bad, it's like a misplaced pass.
It's a 20-yard touch.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Ball, no. He's in for a penny, in for a cent, in for a euro. That's what he's done. Right, he's gone full-blooded. It's an absolute flipping red card all day long. It's a shocking tackle. And oddly, I kind of like to see it now and then, if it's far away
it's
from me.
It's basically what he's done,
George
Andy.
Marsh of AFC Wimbledon is unharmed.
Yes, might not have been,
actually. More by luck than judgment.
Yeah.
But what was it? What was amazing? I mean, he'd been on the pitch for about 5 minutes at this point. And maybe he felt like he was going to get his money, but he complained for ages.
Yeah.
And took ages to leave the field when it's... it's the most nailed-on red card you've ever seen.
Take.
Basically, it was
the referee could not get the card out of his pocket quick enough.
No,
it was a football equivalent of the scene in Breaking Bad where they need to put the fire out in the generator, and Jesse pours all their drinking water on it. Goes, I'll put the fire out. Running in the middle of nowhere, got no water. Cheers. Thanks for that. You've solved one very kind of immediate problem here.
You've lost the ball, and you can't let the opposition have it in an attacking sense.
But in a way, if you really think about it, you've caused us quite a few more
problems.
You've made
it worse. And
you could tell by the reaction of the other players. It was. I reckon if I've been booked in my amateur football career 10 times, I probably have. 8 of them were for that. Bad first touch. I need to sort this out. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Oh, dear. Anyway, gentlemen.
Back in my day, people used to say, sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, that was too quick for me, kind of thing.
You've had your one.
Yeah.
This half, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Help him reattach his leg.
Yeah.
Anyway, gentlemen, talking of problems tonight, Burnley versus Everton at 7:30.
Mm. Can I just say, I'm more excited about this than I am by any of the Champions League games. It's such a big game.
You're more excited this because Chelsea are only playing Real Madrid, so it's not.
I'm a million times more excited about this game than that.
Why is that? Go on, talk us through it.
Because it's such a big game.
Because you've talked about Diego Simeone and all that uncultured crap. Now you're talking about Sean Dyche and Frank Lampard.
But the jeopardy's higher.
The jeopardy is higher.
It may force people to make really, really inadvised decisions while we're watching it.
And isn't it a curious thing, the fact that, you know, that they've played the same amount of games, Everton are 4 points ahead, so really Burnley need to win it, but it feels like all the pressure are on Everton.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Sean Dyche was asked if he could demand any more from his four players, and he said, yes, kick it in the net, it's not rocket science.
Oh, he's a proper, like, University of Life uncle at a wedding, isn't he? Like, probably University of Life. Like, proper, come down. What you'd be at a wedding, and Sean Dyche would be there, and you'd order an alcoholic drink that was outside of the parameters he decided you should be ordering, and he would be literally in your face going, typical London lefty, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so for that...
You do like a Drambuie at a wedding, though.
I do.
Yeah.
I'd like a Drambuie anytime. if you insist. But I It's a difficult one for me because I think Burnley will be relegated this season. I think I've said that since the start of the season. So it'll, my ego demands that it'll be great for me personally if they went down. On the other hand,
that is super.
On the other hand,
why does no one ever say this on the telly?
I also have it. Well, I love football, but what I specifically love within football is when a really big club are having a really difficult time of it on the pitch. Yeah. I don't want to see anyone get a business. Oh,
you've been enjoying Manchester United for the last few years.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, I think we all have.
When Liverpool dropped out the top four a few years ago, epic stuff.
Years they gave us, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't mind it so much what they're doing now. You think, well, you've had your time. You just probably deserve it.
So it's a really, there's a lot of narrative, there's a lot of subtext to it. You're right, and it's a really good point about the pressure feeling like this on Everton, just because they're getting so much media attention, they've been in such poor form, and of course they're away from home. But if I genuinely think if Burnley are going to do something to get out of this mess, they've won three league games all season. Mm. If they're going to do something,
FC Wimbledon,
they've got to do it now. They've got to do it now.
Three league games. Interestingly, despite Dyche obviously sort of ducking this, it's clear that the way they played against Manchester City at the weekend, it was, we've got a big game in the week sort of performance. Mm. That's what it was. You know, we've seen teams at the bottom kind of pick their games before. There's that famous one of Wolves picking half a team to go to Old Trafford when they're under Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, exactly.
And the level of commitment in the first half that Burnley had, it was, well, you know, we might dip a toe in. It wasn't full-blooded. It was saving everything for this, it felt like. Clearly, they've got to score some goals. Yeah. They've got to give themselves the opportunity to score some goals by having both Cornet and Weghorst on the pitch.
I found it weird, Andy, that it's against Man City, fair enough. So all bets are arguably off because they're a good team. But he switched to his 4-5-1. Burnley are a much, much better team with a 4-4-2. They'll go back to a 4-4-2 100% today, tonight. For me, the big question mark over the Everton side of the fence is whether Lampard goes back to his man. Let's see if he was resting Dele Alli.
Well,
because with this game in mind, he's going to play Dele Alli behind Dominic Calvert-Lewin and try and rely on Dele Alli to fucking win the game for them with Decore and I guess it'll be Holgate behind.
Yeah, because Alain's obviously suspended.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Van der Beek would have played the weekend, wouldn't he?
He's out for this as well. He got injured in the warm-up.
Yeah, I knew that.
So I can't wait to watch it. I cannot recommend anyone listen to this.
You've really sold this. I was thinking, Real Madrid and Chelsea or Villarreal, you know, One for the hipsters and
three screen it, Marcus.
Well, Andy,
TV,
no,
TV, laptop,
yeah, you
iPad.
You end up watching none of them.
Well, no, I'll tell you what, Andy.
Oh, come on, what are you talking about?
We can't concentrate.
Yeah, we're all not pervs like you and Bielsa can watch.
Andy actually watches them all on VHS as well.
Yeah, that's it. He's recorded it for me if I've missed anything.
I thought to myself, I want a bit of culture, I want a bit of attacking flair, but I want something a little bit more, you know. And of course, Fulham are away to Middlesbrough, everybody. It's all there.
That is true. So you're going to watch that, are you?
I'm going to watch what I want, mate.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
Are you on the show tomorrow?
It's my television. I'll do what I want with it.
Yeah.
I'm on Friday.
Okay, fine. Great.
Excellent. Excellent stuff there. Right. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network, of course. We're all eyes on Burnley versus Everton tonight, other than mine, maybe.
All eyes on Turf Moor.
Can't wait for it. Once again. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.